In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
When Jimmy and I first sat down together last summer, he asked if I would be willing to do the occasional sermon. And in my mind, I said, no, I don't really need to do that. But apparently what came out of my mouth was, yes. So here I am. The best part about this, though, is I came over earlier this week to rehearse at the lectern, and I felt like a little old lady driving a big Cadillac. I could barely see over the top. So Brian built me a box. And now I have my very own soapbox. Watch out. This Sunday, we have the longest gospel in the history of the lectionary, second only to last week, and we can feel the tension mount as we draw closer to Good Friday. In today's gospel, a man who has never seen before is given sight, but somehow that is overlooked. As the energy surrounding Jesus' ministry escalates, everyone is sent into a tailspin. The disciples want to know who sent this man or his parents that he was born blind. The man's neighbors argued whether or not this was the same person they had known since childhood. And the Pharisees were irate a miracle was performed on the Sabbath. And his parents, even they were overwhelmed and couldn't claim the miracle. I don't know how it happened. Ask him. Although we're told this is the first time in the history of the world someone had opened the eyes of a person born blind, no one could see. The poor guy. Six times in the reading, he redirects others, finally exclaiming, "He opened my eyes. I am the man." How often do we get caught up in logistics and bogged down in details that we can't see the miracles? Or more importantly, how often do we not participate in Jesus' miracles in our lives, making it impossible for God's works to be revealed? In this, one of the last miracles Jesus performed while he walked the earth, active participation was required by both Jesus and the blind man. He spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." Then he went and washed and came back able to see. Jesus mixed the dusty earth with his own DNA to make a paste. And at the same time, the blind man needed to do more than just receive. He and Jesus had to partner in order for him to be cured. I can imagine Jesus saying, "Dude, work with me." I wonder what would have happened if the blind man hadn't gone to wash in the pool. What if he had been too tired or cynical to go and wash? What if we're too tired or complacent? The late USC professor and speaker Leo Biscaglia said, "Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. A simple, everyday miracle, yet meditating on this gospel leads me to wonder how often I walk through the day not doing my part. It's not uncommon for me to think a compliment, but not actually verbalize, thereby missing the opportunity to brighten someone's day. I'm working on that. A common question posed to me recently is, how is it working with Jimmy? It's awesome. But someone asked me last week if I thought St. John's is in a good place to be a love-spreading difference maker. She assured me she did. She just wanted to know my thoughts. The quick answer is yes, of course. But then I started thinking about it. It was 3 years from the time Ken announced his retirement until Jimmy joined us. And during those years, we as the community of St. John's did the hard work. We prayed, waited, listened, prayed, and waited. Life continued during the transition, and we took care of each other. We had births, deaths, baptisms, and last rites. We went to rehab, were diagnosed with cancer, got married, got divorced, got sober, relapsed, went into remission. We laughed, cried, mourned, and celebrated together. We were kind, loved one another, and intentionally worked on removing our personal and collective blinders. Jesus did his part by tugging on Jimmy and Cindy's hearts while we did our part of taking care of each other. Jesus was laying the groundwork for St. John's future, and we participated. The last 6 months in my new role as the Director of Faith Care and Action have been incredibly exciting for me. Donations poured in during Epiphany, and 36 families received gift certificates to Lower Valley Energy, helping with heating and light bills. My office was transformed into a clearinghouse of goods, being filled with donations for Santa Maria Magdalena, and hand-delivered with love, laughter, and generous hearts. We took over 1,000 pounds of tools, clothes, shoes, duct tape, crafts, and common medical supplies essential for everyday life. Getting Americans to a rural village in a communist country is not easy. In fact, it's quite challenging. Yet the transfiguration of an entire community make it worth every frustrating moment. 5 years ago, the newly acquired building of Santa Maria Magdalena was crumbling and the roof infested with termites. The grounds were barren and dusty, and half of the children in Favorito didn't have shoes to wear. The residents of the community were drinking water from old corroded tanks, creating a myriad of health issues. They had a vision, but little hope of seeing it come to fruition during their lifetime. We've seen physical improvement each year, and this past January marked new life. The coffee trees we planted 5 years ago were producing and creating a source of income for the church. The mango trees had tiny fruit, and the avocados were ripening in the warm Caribbean sun. Every child had a pair of shoes on their feet, and people were coming from miles around to fill their jugs with purified, clean water from the system St. John's funded and helped install. But greater than any of that, this was the first time they talked about hope and a brighter future, looking to expand their ministry in the village. It's not lost that Santa Maria Magdalena is an oasis of refreshment for the soul as well as the body, being a love-spreading difference maker in a poverty-stricken country. When we initiated this relationship, there was anxiety on both sides, fearing the language, culture, and political differences would be too great to overcome. The history of our two countries could have overshadowed our common Anglican commitment to respect the dignity of every human being. But we decided not to succumb to fear, and we partnered. We intentionally ignored the excuses and opened our eyes to an international relationship grounded in faith, love, hope, trust, and kindness. And in the process, St. John's changed. Beautiful friendships have been created, and God's work has gloriously been revealed. Has it been a perfect relationship? No. Have we offended? Most likely. Has it been messy? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Likewise, the past few weeks, my office was literally overflowing with items to be dispersed to the youth of the Wind River Reservation, praying that with humility and kindness, we can right some of our ancestors' wrongs. Boxes of jackets, hats, snow pants, boots, snowshoes, and sleeping bags were lovingly loaned and donated. Dozens of you signed up to cook, chaperone, ride roller coasters, solicit donations, and just hang out and play. The emails flying around the service committee were exciting and hopeful and generous and nervous and full of joy. The weekend didn't go as planned. In fact, it didn't go at all. A family emergency of the youth coordinator at the Episcopal Mission on the reservation prohibited them from making the journey. I'm not going to lie, I was disappointed. Mainly for the kids who didn't have the opportunity to spend the weekend having fun and creating new friendships, but also for the service committee and for you, who had been so selfless with your time and resources in order to make this weekend possible. But after a whirlwind of some undoing and upon reflection, I began to realize how I was being a Pharisee. I was so caught up in the planning of hosting 25 youth and adults from the reservation that I was blind to the miracle right in my office. The hospitality and kindness in creating a successful weekend wasn't only for the Native Americans who live just in a different world, just 3 hours away. It was for us. It was about fostering relationships and community right here at St. John's so that we can go out and make a love-spreading difference in the world only possible because we've made a love-spreading difference within these walls. It isn't easy living in community. Just as the blind man's friends were divided, we can be too. Them versus us and the need to be right at all costs happens all too often in our lives. And it's so easy to dig in our heels and take a stance. When we focus on our differences, we're stuck. But when we open our hearts to possibility, everything changes. The possibility of living without fear. The possibility of opening our hearts to a stranger. The possibility of life without labels. The possibility to love and to be loved. One of my favorite activities to do with the children when we talk about Holy Communion and community is to take a glass pitcher of water and slowly stir in Kool-Aid. When the purple sugar is fully incorporated into the water, I ask if we can take it out. No. That's what happens each Sunday when we gather around the altar. Once we invite Jesus into our lives and our relationships, he gets all mixed up in there, and we can't take him out. A partnership with Christ is created and our perspective changes. Labels fall off and our eyes are open to look at the heart rather than the outward appearance, as Miss Allison so eloquently read from Samuel this morning. Charity is transformed from donating stuff to loving unconditionally. The short-sightedness of labels, and in some cases, the stigma of generations of labeling is erased. I have a funny story to share about labels. When Reed and Ryan were little, probably 4 and 2, one of their favorite things to do was to take all of the canned goods out of the pantry And they would see how high they would stack and how far they would roll, create little mini cities. Of course, I thought they were exceptionally creative and brilliant until one day I walked into the kitchen and they had taken all of the labels off of the cans. What are you doing? You can't take off the labels. I said, how will we know what's inside? Reed looked up at me with his big brown eyes and he said, it's easy. You just open it. Right. The innocence of a four-year-old. Now, I do not recommend this for dinner making. It definitely adds a degree of difficulty. But what would happen if we were no longer restricted by labels, allowing ourselves to participate in new and exciting adventures, actively partnering with Jesus in making the world a better place? Just as we've done with Santa Maria Magdalena, the Wind River Reservation, and each other, we need to continue to invite Jesus to be a part of our lives and change our perspective, cure our blindness, and heal our imperfections. It's easy to fall into old habits and go back to blaming and labeling. It's easy to forget the power of a kind word or a gentle touch. That's why we have to keep coming back together to sing, pray, gather around the table, and hold each other accountable. This morning's collect of the day is a gentle reminder to evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him. Unfortunately, this partnership in difference making is much tougher than giving stuff, but the reward is exponentially sweeter. Will our actions be perfect? No. Will we offend? Most likely. Will it be messy? Guaranteed. But with the right intentions coming from a place of love, with Jesus mixed in like Kool-Aid, we can reveal God's work in the world. One of my favorite new bands is called The Sweet Remains, and I've been binge listening to their music lately. The chorus of the song Freedom goes like this. When your heart feels right, it shines from the inside. Freedom to let the light in. Freedom to hold you tight. Freedom with eyes wide open. Freedom from the long, hard night. I love that. When your heart feels right, it shines from the inside. I truly believe St. John's Episcopal Church is the heart of Jackson Hole, and there is some good energy in this place empowering us to shine from the inside. Now back to that question. Are we in a good place to be a love-spreading difference maker? Absolutely. We've let the light in. Jesus is paving the way. Let's join him. Amen.